The Global Fund is the 21st century partnership organization designed to accelerate the end of AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria as epidemics. My next guest has worked on HIV and public health for more than 25 years as a clinician, scientist, teacher, and administrator. In Ireland, to give a talk in the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, Dr. Mark Dybul, Executive Director of the Global Fund Against AIDS, TB, and Malaria, has been kind enough to join us here on Global Village. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Mark, I mentioned it briefly there that in my introduction, but can you tell listeners what exactly is the Global Fund and how do you work?
So the Global Fund is a remarkable act of solidarity. We raise resources from the world and then including, by the way, implementing countries. Africa donates to us, China, India, but also the traditional large donors. Provide us resources. We just had our fundraising effort that Prime Minister Trudeau led that raised $13 billion for the next 3 years. And then we use those resources to support countries to accelerate, as you said, the end of these three epidemics, which we can achieve. It's something pretty remarkable. This generation has the capacity to end TB and malaria, which have been around since recorded medical history, literally thousands of years, and the modern plague. And so we support countries to implement cost-effective, focused programs with high value that will accelerate achieving these remarkable goals.
That's so interesting, Mark, because you said that Africa donates, you know, amongst many other countries. And I'd say a lot of listeners would be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You mean there are countries in Africa that are able to donate as opposed to the other way around? There's still so much lack of awareness just around development issues.
I think that's true in many countries. And some of those countries, most of them actually receive resources from the Global Fund too, but they believe so much in this global solidarity that they want to show how important this is to them and their people.
So you don't work on the ground as such, but you raise and invest nearly $4 billion a year to support programs run by local experts in countries and communities most in need. Is that right?
Correct. And that's one of the innovations of us. You know, we need to invest in the people on the ground. If this is going to be sustainable, if for the long term, these countries are going to take full ownership. And by the way, the countries themselves, while they give us some money, give their own programs even more. So half of the resources that go for HIV in the world come from the countries themselves, the implementing countries in Africa and Asia and Latin America. 80% of TB resources come from the countries themselves and almost 45% for malaria. So the countries are stepping up not just to provide resources to the Global Fund but to invest in their own programs because they see the opportunity. And that's what we should be doing. We should be supporting them. This is you don't want the Irish taxpayers to be doing this forever. This is to accelerate, to support them so that they can do the work. And the only way to do that is to support them, not to try to run it from Dublin.
Well, actually, that was going to be my next question. How is Ireland involved in all this? Because I think one of the reasons why we were keen on getting you on the show is because this is such a good news story. Like a lot of Irish people might not be aware just how much the Irish government contributes to the Global Fund.
Thank you for caring about good news stories. That's
an
important thing.
Ah, we need good news stories, especially now, Mark.
There are so many of them. They happen every day. So Ireland's actually been key to the Global Fund since its beginning. You were one of our founding creators and members. And I think that's really important because Ireland punches above its weight in the global sphere. And maybe many people in Ireland don't know that. Your contribution to us is a pledge of 30 million euros over 3 years. Against $4.5 billion that we'll do almost annually. We also, this isn't a one-way street anymore. We actually invest €3.5 million a year in Ireland. We buy HIV tests that are produced here by Trinity Bio. Development's no longer a one-way street. Globalization can have some good value. So when you put money to us, more than a third of it comes back here to create jobs in Ireland.
That's fantastic news.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And that helps people in countries because you're doing a rapid HIV test that's purchased by Ireland that helps identify HIV so that we can treat it sooner and make people healthy and happy.
Yeah, because let's face it, when it comes to HIV, Ireland still needs a lot of support because there's still a lot of lack of awareness. People are not testing. So there is a lot of issues.
Which is true all over the world because HIV is a disease with stigma. So, you know, this is a good news story on multiple fronts, including creating jobs in Ireland. But you know, Ireland has great values. You have values of caring for each other. You have values of caring for others. Those values are needed in the world. And And you should take great pride in those, I think. And the way you engage in the world is through can be through institutions like the Global Fund. You're a relatively small island country, but you have a you punch above your waist in the global sphere by contributing to things like the Global Fund. And that puts your values in the global marketplace. And we need that. You know, not only big countries should be setting the value parameters of the world, we need countries like Ireland. And so by contributing, your values are in the marketplace, in the global marketplace, contributing to global effort. A second thing, and I think this is important, is there's actually return of value not only in financial terms, but in terms of your future. So healthy, educated people buy things. You need to sell things to others, too, to survive as an economy. And I think the other piece which is important is people worried about refugees and migration today. The population of Africa is projected to double between now and 2050. What will happen if that population doesn't have jobs, doesn't have health care, doesn't have economic growth and opportunity? If you think we have migration and refugee problems today, it's a drop in the bucket. So your values are out there. You're protecting your long-term self-interest, and you're getting some return in jobs right now. So that's what Adam Smith would call enlightened self-interest.
Mark, I can't help when you're, I mean, I'm hearing you speak. All I can think of is the inauguration speech of Donald Trump, because of, you know, what you're saying. It's about countries, you know, giving and really by giving, by sharing, there is obviously it's good for all of us, you know. But I suppose the inauguration speech was all about, no, that's it. We're building a wall and we're not going to give anyone, which I think is just very sad. And that's why we need good news at this time. But let's talk about the access to healthcare globally. Are we making progress? I mean, your goal at the organization is 2030, I believe. Is that right? And is that going to happen? And what steps are in place to make sure it does?
It is going to happen if we stay engaged. If we don't stay engaged, it's not going to happen. It's that simple. So if countries like Ireland say, well, that 30 million euros could be better spent someplace else, it's not going to happen. If we stay engaged, it absolutely will happen. What needs to happen has actually been laid out pretty clearly. We know we have the technological advance. We've had the investment of the last 15 years. 60% reduction in death rate among children under 5 in the hardest affected countries where the Global Fund invested for malaria. We've now 17 million, 18 million almost, people around the world in low and middle income countries on antiretroviral treatment. 15 years ago, every public health expert said that was impossible. The impossible is being achieved. In tuberculosis, we achieved the Millennium Development Goal. We cut rate of TB in half by 50%. TB was in this country not that long ago. Down the street, there's a hospital that was a sanatorium when listeners' parents were around. In fact, some listeners might well have had family members who had tuberculosis. If we invest in global institutions, if we invest in the countries themselves as they increase their own financing, we are on the path. We are on the path to ending these epidemics. The risk with infectious diseases, though, if you don't get to the end, they come back. And when they come back in drug-resistant form. You have drug-resistant tuberculosis in Eastern Europe. Normal migratory patterns, not refugees, but normal migratory patterns puts everyone in Europe at risk of multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. Drug-resistant TB is on – HIV is on the rise. Drug-resistant malaria is rearing its head. So if we don't get to elimination, not only will we have failed to achieve a moment in history that this generation should take and do, when they come back, they'll come back in a drug-resistant form. And we don't have the technology. We certainly don't have the money. Let me give you an example. A normal TB drug regimen costs about $100. A multi-drug-resistant regimen with everything loaded, because it takes about 2 years, costs $20,000. If the people in the if all the people in the world today with tuberculosis had drug resistance, it would bankrupt the world. So we have to end these diseases now before there are a drug-resistant version that we can't control, and that actually cause threats not only in distant places, but cause threats to people here in Ireland.
And we mentioned HIV earlier. If we can talk about that again, people have the misconception that it's not prevalent here in Ireland, but it is. The fact is, the HIV is rising, with 485 new cases reported in 2015, a rise of 30% from 2014. Are people with this disease still facing discrimination?
No question. There's definitely still discrimination all over the world, but it's reducing. If you think about where we were in Ireland or globally 15 years ago and where we are today, there's no comparison. There is a reduction. But people are still afraid. There's still stigma. And there's also a dangerous sense that it's over, a dangerous sense that if I get infected, there's drugs and I'll be fine. And so people are taking risks that they don't need to take. There's now something called pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's extraordinary. It actually could help us eliminate HIV infection. But that discrimination is all over the world. And something people don't think about or talk about much is adolescent girls and young women. We always think about the gay population because that's our experience. But the biggest threat to HIV and the loss of control of the epidemic is in southern Africa and in east and west a little bit of Africa, in adolescent girls and young women who are most at risk. A young woman in Africa, in parts of Africa, are 15 times more likely to be HIV positive than a young man. And the reason for that is sexual is fundamentally gender inequality. It's fundamentally discrimination. It's fundamentally abuse and violence. And it's fundamentally discrimination. And if we don't control that approach, we will lose control of the epidemic. Basically, this is an extraordinary thing for an infectious disease. We cannot end the HIV epidemic, and by extension, the TB epidemic, because the two are one in places like Africa, unless we become better human beings, unless we value each other as individuals, unless we respect the dignity and rights of every human being, unless we value them as a human being. We can't end HIV unless there's gender equality. We cannot end HIV unless we hold each other dear and become better human beings. That's a pretty extraordinary thing. To end plagues, we actually have to treat each other with dignity and respect. And that's a good Irish value.
Yeah, and that was actually the next question was, because some people listening to this would think, oh, well, you know, how can I ever help the Global Fund? Because it sounds amazing. But you just answered it. How can listeners, become better citizens of the Global Village?
By supporting governments and your government for continuing this fight, by staying engaged in learning. Each person can pick their own way. Some people might say, I'm going to go volunteer. Some people might say, I'm going to contribute some individual money. Some people might say, I'm going to write to my member of parliament or the government to say, keep doing this. I believe in you. Because all you hear in most, and thank you again for having this report, mostly what you hear is don't do this, don't do that. Let's look inward. Looking inward and backward has never solved a problem in a personal relationship or in the world. If we look outward, are hopeful, care for each other, love each other, respect each other, we can solve any problem and we can end these epidemics.
It's lovely to have someone like yourself who's a scientist, bringing it down to brass tacks, saying, love each other, people, because that can actually solve all the world's problems. Well, my thanks to Dr. Mark Dybel, who's the Executive Director of the Global Fund Against AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria, joining us here on Global Village.
Thank you.